Is this thing happening?
Hey, guys.
It is Kristen Henge.
And Natalie Roy. Create Podcast.
Here we are. If you're like, what is this Create Podcast that I just hit on? Well, let me tell you something. Natalie and I teach these workshops that are all about holistic tools for artists, for creatives. And guess what? You're alive. So you're an artist. And you are a creative being, and we are here to jam on that. And Natalie?
Yes.
What was
yes, Kristen.
Tell me a little something. Riddle me this, Natalie, if you will. What was our topic this evening?
So every week we teach this class called Create at the Actors Green Room. Every week we pick a different topic to speak on. That is something that pertains to artists, life in general. And this week we were teaching on suffering, and specifically how suffering can be a block to success. And ultimately what we were saying is how suffering is made up and a block to everything in our lives. Not only our success, but it's a block to our highest good, it's a block to our bliss, it's actually a block to who we really are and even having authentic connection with everyone and with life. And what was fun is I think we thought it was going to be a little bit of a Debbie Downer topic, and it ended up being
really fun. It was fun from beat one. I think we came in, and the fun gas was in the room.
It sure was, yeah.
But you know what's so interesting, I feel like, is this talk is really about trust. Mm-hmm. And trusting existence and the process of existence, and that life is for you. And that you are already whole, you're already complete, and that everything that's happening in your life is actually happening for you. Mm-hmm. It's happening to grow you. So those things that come into our life that we are like, why is this here, or I don't want this, we're not realizing that it wouldn't come if it didn't come with a gift.
Yeah.
And we talked tonight about dismantling our preferences. Because mm-hmm. it's our preferences or our labeling mind that wants to go, this is good and this is bad and this should be here and this shouldn't be here, or I should be in this place and I shouldn't be in this place, that actually keeps us out of being able in this moment to dancing with the perfection that is.
And it's so interesting because our preferences are so unreliable and so not in alignment with our highest good, because A, our preferences are only based on what we already know, which is only based on what's already happened. So if we want to live the same size life with the same people doing the same things that we've always done, then our preferences are probably a great gauge for the kinds of things we want and don't want. But if we want to live a life that is something we haven't experienced yet, that's bigger than what we've experienced before, if we want to make more money than we've made before, if we want to do a different kind of art than we've done before, then our preferences are never going to help us, because our preferences are based on data the mind has collected, and the mind can only know what it already knows.
That's right.
So in a way, our preference is always going to be to stay the same, to keep everything as it is. And the only constant in life is change. And so when we can actually stop resisting change, which will always be our preference, and we can instead get into the energy of going with the flow, so when that change in our life shows up, we can actually see it as the opportunity that it is. It's the moment, it is the suffering that is taking us to the next place, to the next level. And I think that what we love talking about is that when you have a problem in your life right now, and you can gracefully and sort of with bliss and with ease show the universe how you can deal with that and move through that, then all it really does is show that you are ready and capable for bigger problems and a bigger life.
Can you imagine taking that idea, that kind of flow, flowing with the river, into everything? It's like, so that the moment that your relationship ends, you're like, ooh, I wonder what the universe has for me. This relationship is flowing out of my life. I wonder what's flowing in. Ooh, I just got let go from that job. This work energy is flowing out of my life. I wonder what's flowing in. So that everything we can see is this beautiful cosmic dance mm-hmm. that is always in our favor.
Yes.
Like that everything is continually and continually up-leveling.
Yes.
So if we had that kind of mindset on it, we wouldn't resist change. We'd say, I'm done with this energy now, which is why it's leaving my life. So it means that a greater and more powerful and more in alignment energy is coming into my life now. And I love Tasha Silver and how she talks about, may I just greet everything in life with an open hand. Whatever wants to come, come, and goes, goes. Mm-hmm. Right?
And one thing you talked about tonight that Osho said, so we love Osho.
Love Osho.
He said, why should you be worried or anxious about yourself? No rose bush is worried, no bird, no animal, no star. It is just the stupid human mind that creates so many worries. And the simple reason is that it thinks it's separate. So nature, our bodies, everything is self-correcting. You know, when we get a cut or a wound, the body will heal it. That is our nature, to be healthy, to be whole. It is the nature of the universe to regenerate, to recreate, that if something dies, then something is given birth to. That is the nature, the cyclical, beautiful universe that we live in. So it is only our mind that says we have to do something about that process. We have to intervene. We must be part of it. And it's really our own self-importance and need to feel like we are part of it that makes us interfere. But once we can intuitively step back and know that we are already a part of it, like Kyle Cease talks about that place inside of us, that's that deep down place, that we know deep down we are okay. Like when the shit hits the fan, deep down we know we're going to survive. We know it's going to be okay. Why can't we trust and live and love and experience life from that place, because that's the truth anyway.
Right. So no matter what happens, I'm always okay. Mm-hmm. No matter who I talk to, where I go, what's going on, I'm in a place of perfect peace. Mm-hmm. And that Osho quote made me think about A Course in Miracles that says we only ever have one problem. And that problem is any time that we think that we are disconnected or that we are separate from God. Mm-hmm. And that problem has already been solved, mm-hmm, because we are already connected to the divine. So suffering actually in that way becomes a myth.
Yes.
Because if we're only suffering because we think we're separate, and then the truth is we're actually already connected, suffering is just a story that we tell. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a story that we tell because we don't believe that we deserve our good. Mm-hmm. So that if we can use this kind of myth of hard work, we talked tonight about being addicted to hard work, working hard, having to achieve it.
Mm-hmm. No pain, no gain.
Right. Then we feel like if we've told a big enough story, that then we deserve something.
Yeah.
As opposed to just being able to have it because we are.
Yeah. We talked tonight about how in the philosophy of yoga, they talk about all suffering is when you link together things that are not meant to be linked. But what it also talks about is that correct linking is actually what is joy and what puts us in our Purusha, puts us in our bliss body, is that the number one confusion for us as an entity is confusing our Purusha and our Prakriti. It's confusing ourselves to be linked to that outer world. It's that confusion that we are not this spirit, this soul that is timeless, that nothing bad can happen to. So when we can de-link those two ideas, it's almost like when you notice yourself in suffering, and for those of you that create, I talked about the horrible spin class I was in this week.
Sweet baby.
The sweetest, most energized teacher, and I was just having that day where I just wanted to make everything a problem, and the whole class, I was just in this suffering and rumination. And the moment I was able to separate myself from that suffering and actually laugh at myself and say, look how much suffering I am in because I am on this spinning bike in New York City. Like, what is the big deal? As soon as I was truly able to separate myself and see that distinction, I was no longer in the suffering because I was witnessing the suffering. And we have this great friend who we met in Amsterdam on our travels who says, when you're in it, it's a drama. And when you witness it, it's a comedy. And that is what happened to me. I went from saying, I hate this class. I'm so angry. Why am I here? Every song, I'm more frustrated. I can't do this. To having that awareness that I can spend the next 20 minutes continuing to have the same thought, therefore having the same experience, and spend the next hour in suffering. Or I can just notice the fact that I am in suffering and decide that I don't want to participate in that anymore. And the class is not going to change. That is the external world. But my linking myself to my spirit having to be controlled by that outer world is 100% my choice. And that is how I can de-link from that suffering and choose to link to something that's more appropriate, like laughter or like, you know, just not taking it so damn seriously.
Absolutely. And that ability to see the fun in life, even to like kind of like look at ourselves with that kind of wink and see the comedy that we're in, I feel like that gives us then back the spirit of play that I think the divine wishes us to use in our creativity and in our life and in our interactions, right? So it's actually that kind of like witness consciousness where we can go, oh, I'm just a sweet little precious baby. Oh, I'm so adorable. Look at me and my little story. All right. Okay, now me and you, kid, let's get back to having fun. Yeah. Let's get back to like being with life. What do you want to do? What do you want to create? And we talked a little bit tonight about how those disturbances that get into our head, how they're actually just like stealing real estate from being able to be in close communion and connection with our source. So anytime that we get into a thought that steals us away from the present, it's actually taking us away from a deeper insight that could be up-leveling our life at this moment. That like at any moment, there's an ability for an insight that would rock our world, would take us somewhere we've never been before. But you have to be open and available for that to come in. And if our mind is caught in controlling and trying to figure out the future and trying to solve these problems that we've deemed in our lives, we're actually not available for the solution that's already trying to happen.
Because don't we spend our whole life just trying to solve the problems? And the minute you solve one problem, another problem is there to take its place. Like if I have the problem of I'm hungry, well, the minute I eat lunch, my mind is going to find another problem. Now I'm full.
That is so accurate.
Right?
That is so
now
accurate.
I need a nap.
we were talking earlier about how, you know, life is a self-correcting system, right? Mm. So art is that same way. Like we were talking tonight about like if you're working on a project and there's a problem, sometimes if you just give it a little space, there's a way that it will work itself out, right? I remember, I think I told you this, but one of my favorite things in Richard Branson's book, he said sometimes he doesn't answer emails right away when there's a problem because he wants to give, managers and employees an opportunity to solve them on their own. And he knows that if he doesn't reply for a moment, usually they find a solution before they come to him.
Yeah.
I notice sometimes when I'm directing a scene, if I see a problem that is in the scene, something's not activated, someone's want isn't strong enough, I don't step in to fix it right away. Mm. I actually just like step back and just like watch it for a while and be like, let me see what happens. Because the intuition within the actor is noticing something's up.
Yeah.
And I actually, if I leave them alone and don't suggest a solution, they're going to find it from the inside, which is going to make it more organic and more right for the scene.
And aren't we trained as, I know, I've definitely heard acting teachers say something like, what is the problem of the scene that you're trying to solve? But really, isn't this the same thing that we're talking about with the suffering? Is it's not our job to actually solve anything. It's really just being willing to go on the journey with the problem.
That's it. We just have to go on the journey with the problem. Be the consciousness that shows up for the problem to unfold itself.
That's right.
That's how I feel sometimes with projects. When there's like a big, giant, whether it's a personality conflict or a problem in the second act you're trying to fix or whatever, that it doesn't have to be like my genius brain that solves everything. I just have to be willing to show up day after day and bring the consciousness of, oh, there's a solution here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to figure itself out.
And isn't it fun to watch how it gets revealed?
Yes!
And know that you don't always have to be the one doing it. That sometimes it can just be given to you. Like, for example, we had a special guest given to us tonight for our podcast, and we forgot to announce.
Ooh, yay!
Hi, guys.
We have with us Matthew Wilson, who has been with Create since the very beginning.
Yeah, a little over a year ago now.
He's so special to us. Matthew came into our lives, and we are very obsessed with him, and he's about to embark on a big move to Los Angeles, so we're so glad to have him here. And then, of course, we have the beautiful Candy here.
Hi,
with
guys.
Because we would never do this lovely podcast without her.
So, our producer, Candy.
We get to jam with these two beauties.
Also, speaking of beauties, because that's what I wanted to touch on, because this is a podcast, everyone should know just how attractive Candy and Matthew are. And I want to paint a really clear picture.
Yes,
because, you know, because you're not here in the room with us, But I'm talking about two really, like, exquisitely gorgeous human beings.
I am seeing what you're seeing.
Are you seeing what I'm seeing? There is no problems.
They're not seeing how hard I'm blushing right now. That's what they're not seeing.
Ladies, when you guys were discussing this now, a question came to my mind about the correlation between suffering and goals. Mm-hmm. As actors, our goals can be, I want to be a series regular on a TV show. And you can go for this and go for this and go for this, and there's no time, mm-hmm. really. It's not like other professions. I always relate the two, because you can go for something in another profession and it's a guarantee, you study, you're going to get a certain result. Mm-hmm. However, with our careers, you can take 100 classes. It doesn't mean you're going to book one job. Mm-hmm. So what's the correlation between the two, and how can we handle these goals that we have or these dreams that we have, however big or small they may be?
I just think that we just misuse the word suffering. I think we use the suffering too often and for places that it doesn't actually fit. I think that the path to our dreams is a path of passion and practice. And I do believe that with any profession, no matter what you're doing, it takes practice to become a master at it. Now, does that mastery lead to the exact thing you want? Mm. Sometimes it leads you down a totally other rad path that you couldn't even have known that you wanted. But if you show up every day with that practice and that open heart and that excitement and that zest and passion for what you are doing, then inevitably that will lead you down a road that is also called passion and bliss. It's the same road that you have been trekking. It will lead you to more of that. Mm-hmm. So I think that sometimes when we are just in our practice, you know, we're memorizing or we're studying, we call it suffering. It's like, that's the grunt work. That's the stuff I don't like doing. And I think that our job is just to change how we think about it and say, this can be done with passion and grace and ease, or it can be done with the attitude of, I don't like this, I don't want to do this, I'd rather just be on the red carpet, I'd rather just be in my trailer and be, you know, having the success that I really want to get. And what if we could make the whole process about the passion and the ease and the joy of the doing? Then wherever we end up, we will only get more of that.
It makes me think of Mary Poppins. With every job that must be done, there is an element of fun. You find the fun and snap the job's a game, right? But, you know, when you talk about becoming a series regular, right, I think when we get suffering involved is when we start thinking about clenching, when we start clenching onto goals. And when we clench onto goals, right, there's no room there. There's actually no room for it to come in because we're holding on too tight. So we want to, I think, play with our goals. Like the author of You Are a Badass talks about this like fun concept of, would it be fun to see if such and such a thing could happen? So would it be fun to point my intention to being a series regular on a television show and just have fun with that? So if I was going to have fun seeing like what might happen if I focus there, what are some of the fun things I could do? And then let's see what happens. So it's almost like a playing with life in this, I know that I am being this creative force on the planet, and whatever is meant for me cannot go past me. Mm-hmm. But I feel a desire toward this certain thing. Mm-hmm. I know that desire is life asking for itself. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking this desire as a cue, universe, that you're asking me to point in this direction. So I am listening and I'm available, and I will point now in this direction. Mm. But me pointing in that direction, I'm also totally willing and available for you to take this passion and put it wherever you want. But I will point in this direction until you move my desire somewhere else, knowing that that's my only job. I pay attention to my desires, seeing them as a signal from you from which way to point. And then I go that way in a soft, easy, playful way in an open hand. And then I see what magic shows up.
This sounds like you're describing beliefs and belief systems that we may have, that we're conditioned to believe you have to work hard for a goal.
Yeah.
So when you hear the word fun, you're like, what? Mm-hmm. What are you talking about, fun? There's no fun. You got to do this. Or what are you talking about, play? There's a certain amount of time for play. Right now, it's work. So it sounds like you have to shift your perception, shift your beliefs.
I totally think that. I mean, if I think about my relationship with my dreams in the same way I would think of being in a relationship with a partner or a spouse, the minute that relationship gets into suffering is when I'm like, I want you to do everything I want you to do. I want you to do it when I want you to do it. And I'm pressuring you to be perfect and you need to meet my every expectation or I don't want to be with you anymore. It's like that person is going to leave me and I am never going to see them again. So
and leave you fast.
And leave me fast. So if I really want to be in a relationship with my dream, I got to take the pressure off and say, who are you and how can I love you for exactly as you are? And so if that is showing up as an audition for a student film, then how can I love that as it is without needing to change it into something quote unquote better? Because one of, I think, the diseases and addictions of artists is the disease and addiction of I always must be better. And we so lose track and sight because we are so naturally adaptable as human beings. The minute we accomplish something, it's like, okay, now what else can I accomplish? Mm. There's never even that moment of just getting still and being like, wow, look how far I've come. Look what I just did. Look at how awesome the universe gave me this and this and this. Because it's like, we don't notice it until it's the recurring on the Netflix series. But if I can notice, I found a Subway card on the ground and it had an extra ride on it. If I can notice that with the same enthusiasm for life as I can notice the audition for the recurring role, then everything is everything. And then I get to just watch how the universe wants to continue to show up for me when I stop putting pressure on it to please me all the time.
Mm-hmm. And the idea that pushing creates struggle, right? And if what we want to do is flow, all we do with it to be in a flow state is to show up and be ready to move and move in the state of love, right? So moving, being the presence of love, causes miracle consciousness to occur, right? And then you're available for whatever wants to happen. I heard also this quote, you must have heard it too, that work is love made visible, right? So this idea, like, I think it is a false belief, this idea that we have to, like, work hard to have things and to make things happen. Mm-hmm. But perhaps work is just us getting to show up for love. Mm-hmm. It's the practice of showing up for love.
One of the many things about tonight's create that I fell in love with was the tool that you guys gave us in the exercise to draw how you would feel. Mm. How you would feel if you were living your best life or if you were living the dreams that you want so badly. And I know personally, I'm a huge culprit of gripping. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge culprit of being afraid of things not working out just like I want them to. Mm-hmm. And that exercise of drawing how you would feel is a beautiful way of lifting off, of taking away the grip and lifting off of your preferences and falling in love with the unknown so you can show up for the miracles that were there all along.
Yeah. Well, what I love about that and about getting in tune with what you feel is that if we think about thoughts as the language of the mind, then our emotions are the language of our bodies. Mm-hmm. And it's actually when both of those are activated in the same focused direction that we can create change in the quantum field. Mm-hmm. So when we want to change consciousness, we actually need our thoughts and emotions to work together in alignment with one another. Mm. And we are so good at thinking about what we want. I can think about what I want all day long. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. I can also feel all the things I would want to happen. But if it's not in aligned with my thoughts, you know, it's not going to happen either. So, for example, if I'm thinking I want to be rich, but I still feel anxiety when I can't pay my bills, I'm not in alignment with that abundance. Or if I'm feeling all rich and I'm like doing my meditations and my manifestations, I'm going to be rich, it's all going to be great. But then my thoughts on a daily basis, I don't know if you can afford that. I don't know if you can afford that. It's not going to manifest. Mm-hmm. Now, once those two fields of consciousness line up together, then I've really got a position of power here.
You mentioned tonight about us being addicted to struggle. Can you elaborate a little more on that? Because you also discussed in neuroscience and how our brain works and how we just, it's kind of like how we get wired to be that way. So getting out of that way, you kind of suffer a little bit when you change a little bit. You know, like you said, when you get on the spiritual path, in the beginning, it's like sweet rainbows, butterflies. And then after a while, you're like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, isn't it so. Louise Hay that says, like, when you first get on a spiritual path, it's all parking spots?
Yeah, right. The green lights, like,
the green lights in the parking spot. Everything's going your way. And then the real kind of work of it starts, because a spiritual path is meant to evolve and grow you. And spiritual means lots of different things to lots of different people, but what we mean is like coming into that spirit inside of yourself, that wholeness, that perfection that you already are. As we get closer and closer to it, it's like as you get closer and closer to love, everything that's not love will reveal itself. As we get closer and closer to our own perfection, everything that is the opposite of that is going to start showing up in our lives and trying to tell us that's who we are. The ego is very, very addicted to maintaining status quo and maintaining what it already knows. And if you think about the mind, every thought we think is a manifestation. So we might as well direct it consciously rather than letting it run the show, because all of our beliefs are borrowed. All of our values are borrowed until we decide to create our own. So we really, as artists, as powerful creators, we get that opportunity to say, if everything I think and feel has potential to change outer reality, then I can use my mind to my advantage. So rather than it being this enemy that I'm fighting and resisting all the time, why not just get in a dance with it? And that's what we were talking about struggle. We're only ever going to be addicted to the cycle of struggle when we're in resistance to our own ego and our own self. Mm-hmm. When we can start to say, oh, the ego is just trying to keep me safe. It only knows what it knows. It wants to protect me. It's almost like it just wants to chime in and say, I know something about this too. I want to help you. I want to da-da-da. And it's just not the right person for the job. So we get to go, let me just give you a task. You go focus on this, and I'll go manifest my dreams.
This reminds me of Michael A. Singer in Untethered Soul when he talks about taking the seat and watching your thoughts, you know, go by with non-judgment. But lately for me, it's been, I'll watch a thought and I'm like, really? Like, why am I even thinking? And I'll be like lost for like 10 minutes. Why am I even thinking that? Where did that come from? So then I go down the rabbit hole of like, wait, where did that come from? And I'm stuck in that feeling of, why are you thinking these things? And then I'm like, okay, moving on. And then it's the next one that comes in. You know, so it's interesting when you are in the state of being mindful of what you're doing, what you're thinking, and you watch yourself manifest. There's also, maybe this is the ego's job, that it's like, oh, well, struggle a little bit while you manifest.
Yes.
Because it's scary to know that what you what you're thinking is what is manifesting to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, and I feel like, and you know how people start talking about that idea of like, I'm starting to become mindful of my thoughts and now everything scares me. You know that?
Right.
I feel like that can even be a little bit of a story of struggle.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because a more fun story, you know, we talked tonight about how as people, as human beings, we are programmed to find meaning and discover meaning and create our own meaning. And whatever meaning we create is what we will see evidence of.
Right, right. Please change my story, darling.
well, just to offer up the story of, first, life loves us and wants us to win. First, the universe is trying all the time to just give us glory and to show us how incredible we are. And so, we already won. Like, we already got this. You're already being taken care of on such a deep, beautiful level. And the stuff that floats through our heads, that's just what's in the collective human consciousness. You can't walk through the world and not get it through you. You know what I mean? So if we can have deep compassion for, like, you know, the thousands and thousands of years of conditioned programming that's in our head, it's going to pop up. And that, and then we don't even have to ask how it got there, except of like, yeah, all those thoughts are in there. Every thought that's ever been thunk by a human, it's going to come up. And which is awesome as artists, because it gives us ability to have deep compassion for humanity and for the human spirit. And you can identify with any character you ever play, because all the thoughts come from the same place. But we don't have to flog ourselves for not being perfect thinkers, right? We already, like, are the children of the Most High. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We already are divine and beautiful specimens. Like, we get to live in bliss. And so I think maybe something that can be fun to do is just in our lives, look for evidence of how we're already living in bliss. And by doing that, the struggle will disappear on its own.
And also I would say, you know, Joseph Campbell, who we talked about, says opportunities to find deeper powers within ourselves come when life is the most challenging. Mm-hmm. And I would say what has been revealed to you, Candy, and maybe to other people listening, is the detective in you has been revealed. Oh, and if your detective is so good at finding and going back and finding all the problems, then it's possible that detective could be just as good as searching for the miracles.
Mm. I love that. It makes me think of because we are the witness, right? We are not the problem. We are not the situation. We are the witness sitting in the back seat watching it all happen. So instead of witnessing the struggle, why not witness the bliss? Mm. Witness the miracle. Mm. And in that, realizing that it was all just an illusion of disconnect in the first place.
Mm. That's mm-hmm. beautiful. Thank mm-hmm. you for that.
So here's what I'll do. I will take on.
Yes.
You know, I will think and look for how the miracles are manifesting mm-hmm. instead of looking for where did I get this negative thought or judging myself. Mm-hmm. Because that's essentially what I'm doing by saying, how can you think that bad thought?
Yeah.
You meditate every day for 20 minutes. You do all these things. I will look for the good every day, and next time we go back, I'll tell you guys.
Ooh,
I'm detective for bliss.
Yes, and how about for everyone that is listening, if you want to take it on, and then you can go to our Instagram and our Twitter, mm-hmm. and you know, you could even do a hashtag support Candy.
support detective bliss.
Detective bliss.
Oh my gosh, I want a little cartoon of you, and it's like
detective bliss.
I have a Bitmoji. I have one.
Yes. Oh my gosh, will you please?
So please, can you please tag us and let us know how you are being a detective for bliss?
Yes.
And so we can all start to notice ways that we can look for even more.
And speaking of other tags and things to throw up on the Instagram and on our Facebook page, we did an exercise today, which is drawing a picture in the morning of how you want to feel. Mm-hmm. How do you want to feel that day? So some people do like a pre-visualization for their day where they visualize their day and all the things that go right for them, all the wonderful miracles that come their way. But what if in the morning, if you just draw a picture and say, this is my spirit today. This is how I want to feel. Mm. Just draw it, put it out in the world, forget about it, walk out your door, and then see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And do it for a week and just see how that primes your day in a different way.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about your blog that you're doing, that you discussed tonight?
Yes,
It's related
to this topic. So I got really interested on the law of least effort, which is one of the spiritual laws, which says that in life we can do, it's kind of related to like in the Taoist philosophy, like all doing is non-action. It's really action from an inspired place.
Mm-hmm.
So for someone like me, who can be a little bit of a workaholic, it's how to participate in life with a just doing the least amount of action and letting life do the rest. So I'm taking like a 28-day study mm-hmm. and going, what if I get more money? What mm-hmm. if I have bigger career breakthroughs
mm-hmm.
if I take a stand for minimal action and maximum results? And there's actually a mantra that you can use with the law of least action to invite this in.
Mm.
So I'm on my fifth day. I've already been getting some money.
Yes.
I've had unexpected checks.
Mm-hmm.
Some exciting career breakthrough emails coming
yes.
through.
Which so, put me into suffering, but now I'm over it.
We got some possible up-leveling happening. And so it's really fun to look at your life and realize how often we get ourselves in the state of pushing too hard or doing too much so that we can create a victim story out of
mm-hmm.
it. So if we actually go, easy hand, light touch, I'm just going to do a little bit so that spirit can do more. And really it all came out of, I had this epiphany when I got sick. Matthew, you got sick recently.
Mm-hmm.
I got sick and I couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard the universe tell me in the most specific way, stop doing anything so I can show you how you are not the doer and let me blow your mind. So I'm just saying, okay,
Show me. Nothing like a sickness to knock you on your butt to teach you how to let go.
That's right.
All our opportunities for our greatest powers are in the perceived
surrender.
Suffering.
Yeah. Guys, we can do this. So thank you guys so much for listening.
Oh, so Kristen's blog is available on her website.
Thank you.
Of course, sweet wife. KristenHangy.com.
Yes, KristenHangy.
And if you want to learn more about us or see our cute pictures, you can go over to our website, thecreateseries.com. You can check us out at the Actors Green Room. All of our Create classes are also available on demand, so you can always watch us. And thank you so much for listening to our podcast.
And you can see my cute wife, Natalie Roy, on her website, which is
www.natalieroy.com.
Sometimes I just go there and look at how pretty she is. I watch her reel for fun.
You know. Matt, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll miss you when you go to LA, and you'll have to come back and visit, and we'll go visit
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
And Candy, thank you as thank always. You, and we can't wait for your detective work
Bliss.
This week.
Yep.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks,
have
guys.
A great week.
If you want to know about the Create Workshop series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to KristenHangy.com or
NatalieRoy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!